Texas America. This is Dan House America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined in the last hour of the show by Dr. E. Michael Jones, the very fine editor of Culture Wars. You can find Culture Wars online at www.culturewars.com. You can order your own copy of the print version of Culture Wars, which I definitely recommend to you. And if you happen to be in possession of the June 2007 issue, Volume 26, Number 7, Dr. E. Michael Jones has a most provocative, informative essay that is the cover story for that particular edition. It's entitled, Too Many Yarmulkes, Abortion and the Ethnic Double Standard. What is the larger context in which we should see the abortion debate and the culture wars in this country? I think this article goes a long way toward explaining the context of this conflict that is not only not acknowledged by corporate media. There are a lot of folks in contemporary Roman Catholicism and in the Protestant evangelical community, as well as in quote-unquote conservative political circles, who don't want to touch, don't want to consider the information that Dr. E. Michael Jones presents to us in this essay. How are you, Mike? Are you there? Dr. Jones, are you there?
Yep.
What I just introduced your essay here in regard to providing the listeners with just a 10 or 15 second overview. I notice on the cover of Culture Wars, as you introduce this essay, Abortion and the Ethnic Double Standard, that there's a very prominent picture of ex-United States Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania there. Maybe we ought to launch into this with that. What is Santorum doing there? How does he play into this larger picture?
Well, I think he's a symbol of the demise of conservatism that is taking place as we're speaking right now. He lost the election in November of 2006 to the Democratic challenger, Bob Casey, who was the son of Governor Casey. And what I think happened here is that the Catholic voters of Pennsylvania started to ask the question of who's Rick Santorum working for? Who's he working for? We have concerns, and after the campaign that Rick Santorum engaged in over the fall led people to believe that the main thing on his mind was invading Iran, you know,
yes,
dropping bombs on Iran. He gave this speech called The Gathering Storm. He took the title from Winston Churchill's memoirs, and people were thinking, well, wait a minute, we're bogged down in Iraq, and the only thing that this guy can talk about is invading Iran. Forget it. And I think what he did was he turned off the Catholic voters, who were the core of his support in Pennsylvania, and they went with Bob Casey, because Bob Casey broke with the Democratic Party on this issue and said he was pro-life. So that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think before shifting into this whole question of Philadelphia Inquirer cartoonist Tony Alf and what he drew up that inspired your own essay here, Mike, as far as Santorum is concerned, I think it's absolutely essential to underscore the fact that Santorum is a part of a seamless garment of neoconservatives, it seems to me, who have a war on behalf of Israel on the forefront of their minds. And in the first couple of hours of my show before you came on this morning, I was talking about Kenneth R. Timmerman. And this weekend I got a call from somebody in the Iranian expatriate community who wanted to know more about Mr. Timmerman and why he was promoting this Iranian conference in Paris, France. And getting into the connections of Timmerman tends to lead people into the kinds of connections that Rick Santorum has for all of the obvious reasons. When we come back, I'm going to discuss this cartoon that was in the Philadelphia Inquirer and where you take it from there. This is Mark Dankos, America on RBN. We'll be back with Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Back. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined in this last hour of the show by Dr. E. Michael Jones, the very fine editor of Culture Wars. You can find Culture Wars online at www.culturewars.com. You can order a print subscription to Culture Wars, which I have done, and I have profited by every issue I've received. This present issue has Rick Santorum on the cover. And that leads to Dr. E. Michael Jones' essay, Too Many Yarmulkes, Abortion and the Ethnic Double Standard. And before I get even further into this essay with Dr. E. Michael Jones, just to follow up on what he has already told us about Rick Santorum, it is noteworthy that according to Dr. Jones, and I know that this to be true because I was there at the time, Santorum turned on fellow pro-life, at least in comparison with Arlen Specter, fellow pro-life Catholic Pat Toomey, and supported Arlen Specter, the Jewish pro-abortion senior senator from Pennsylvania, in his re-election bid. Santorum was an avid supporter of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee and introduced an AIPAC-inspired bill on Iran into the Senate, which even the Bush administration found too extreme. Condoleezza Rice asked the Democrats to veto the bill. Eventually, the ethnic chickens came home to roost. Rick Santorum towed the Republican line on abortion, but the real beneficiaries of his policies were the Jews, as his final failed campaign indicated. When the Catholics caught on to what was really going on, they switched back to the Democratic Party of their fathers and grandfathers and elected Bob Casey, the son of the late pro-life governor, to the Senate. Here we go, folks. Dr. E. Michael Jones tells us that Santorum showed where his true allegiance lay when he took a position with the American Enterprise Institute after his defeat. I think that tells us all we need to know about Rick Santorum. Dr. Jones, getting back to what I think really inspired your essay, after this Supreme Court Carhart decision on partial birth abortion, Philadelphia Inquirer cartoonist Tony Alf drew a picture of what the decision meant to him. And as you put it, by extension, the classes and groups which Alf and his newspaper represent. Tell us about the cartoon and then unfold it for us in regard to the implications of what that cartoon was meant to convey.
Well, the cartoon shows the 9 Supreme Court justices, and 5 of them are wearing bishop's mitres. So I assume that these are the 5 Catholics on the bench. And so what we are to conclude from this is that the story of abortion in a nutshell, the strategy was created by the New York Times way back when Bernard Nathanson was campaigning to overturn the anti-abortion laws in New York. And that basically is to identify abortion as a Catholic issue. The only reason anybody opposes abortion in this country is because he's Catholic. That's the official explanation. And the implication is that Catholics want to impose their views on America. Well, Bill Donahue, who's the head of the Catholic League, came to the same conclusion I did when he saw the cartoon. He wrote in to the Philadelphia Inquirer and said, why didn't Tony Alf put yarmulkes on Justice Breyer and Justice Ginsburg? And what I'm saying here is that what this cartoon does, instead of just complaining about anti-Catholic bigotry, I think we should just say, well, this is the reality of the situation. We're talking about one of the great divides in the culture wars in American politics. And that is the fact that Catholics are pro-life and Jews are pro-abortion. So all I'm saying is, well, let's just deal with the whole issue. Let's just not deal with the Catholic side of the issue. Let's deal with the Jewish side of the issue as well. And let's talk about Jews being pro-abortion as part of the issue here.
Yes, and exactly. And I think that there is a reason why the second side of that, or the flip side of that coin, is never discussed. You put it in the context of the essentially Talmudic standards of public discourse, Mike. Explain for the listeners what you meant by that.
Well, I'm saying that the politics in this country are ethnic. They've always been ethnic. They're never going to be anything but ethnic. But ethnic is something that people don't understand, because religion is the basis of ethnicity in America. So no matter where you came from, by the time you're here for 3 generations, your ethnic identity is your religion. And so it's Protestant, Catholic, and Jew. This is when the theory of the triple melting pot was formulated. And that's true. That's it. That's what it's going to be. Maybe in a couple of years it'll be Muslim, Mormon. I don't know. Maybe they'll add something. But the principle will remain the same, that your ethnic identity is your religious identity. And all I'm saying is, well, let's deal with it on these terms. Because, in effect, what we have, the only reason that the pro-life movement got to the Carhart decision is because of ethnic politics. And I'm saying that meant specifically the end of the Bush, or late into the Bush administration. George Bush puts up Harriet Myers as his nominee for the Supreme Court, and everybody just laughs her out of town. And at that point, he realizes he's lost a lot of political power. You know, if he had political power, he could have put up, Bonzo, and Bonzo would have made it onto the court. But this didn't work. So what does he do? He has to re-energize the base. He has to go to the Catholics again. Get this guy with a vowel at the end of his name. Put him on the Supreme Court to re-energize the Catholics. And that's the situation we're in right now. That end game has finally played out. I think this is the end of conservatism. We're watching the final death agony of conservatism. But what really resulted from, or the heart of conservatism, was basically a group of people trying to mobilize the biggest ethnic bloc, namely the Catholics, and get them on board for conservatism. And I'm saying what happened with Rick Santorum is that the Catholics woke in Pennsylvania woke up and said, "Wait a minute, he's not working for us. He's working for Arlen Specter. He's working for IPAC. We're out of here," and they voted for Bob Casey.
Yes, and I think it's really important, I think, to understand all the implications of what you unfold for us here, Mike, because when it comes to this whole issue of conservatism, it is quite clear that that is a code word for neoconservatism as far as people like Santorum are concerned. And as I read through your whole essay, it seems to me that one of the most powerful things that came forth in it was not simply the total context of the abortion debate, but the total context of the entire culture war that has confronted us in this country in the last 40 or 50 years, and the way in which Catholic individuals and so-called conservative individuals in religious and journalistic circles in many cases have been co-opted by Jewish elements. And on page 24, for example, I find it striking that you, in mentioning William Donahue, you mentioned him as the director of the Catholic League. He wrote that Tony Alf's cartoon for the Philadelphia Inquirer, quote, showed the five Catholic judges wearing a papal hat, unquote. That's correct. The response was predictable enough, but then, as you put it, Donahue waded into dangerous ethnic waters when he added that Mr. Alf, quote, evidently forgot to put a yarmulke on Kinsburg and Breyer, unquote, all of which, as you point out, was absolutely on-target commentary by William Donahue. But then over on page 36 of the same essay, you tell us more about Bill Donahue in regard to the fact that he is a creation of Irving Kristol and Irving Lewis Horowitz. What all is behind that, and is Bill Donahue, like Santorum, a microcosm of a much larger problem?
Well, I think he's in the middle. I think he's in the middle, and in order to illustrate what the middle is, I went back to the Black Jewish Alliance. And that's where I got the phrase, too many yarmulkes. Because in a sense, for 50, the predecessor to conservatism was liberalism. And liberalism lasted from 1932 to 1968, and it expired when basically all the Catholics who supported the Democratic Party shifted and voted for Nixon because they were sick and tired of having their neighborhoods destroyed by the blacks under the name of the Civil Rights Movement. The Black Jewish Alliance is really the model for what became the Catholic Jewish Alliance. The Black Jewish Alliance was liberalism. The Catholic Jewish Alliance was known as conservatism. And an example of the demise of the Black Jewish Alliance came when David Dinkins becomes mayor of New York City. David Dinkins he's working for the Jews, the same way Rick Santorum was working for the Jews. Felix Rohatyn was his backer. But you can't get elected because there aren't enough Jews to get elected. Okay, Sandra Feldman, the teachers union, backed him up. So you got to get an ethnic guy. His ethnicity is black, okay? He appeals to his fellow blacks. They put him in office. He then goes to Israel and stands in front of the Wailing Wall and says he supports Israel and the war in the Middle East at that time. Puts on a yarmulke. At this point, Al Sharpton exposes what's really going on. He says David Dinkins wore too many yarmulkes. And that was the end of the career of David Dinkins, because Al Sharpton exposed the true dynamics of the Black Jewish Alliance that put Dinkins in power. I'm saying the same thing happened to Rick Santorum. He wore too many yarmulkes. You know, suddenly the whole Catholic Jewish Alliance got exposed, and the Catholics realized they were getting the short end of the stick, and so they pulled out. This is the way politics goes, and I'm saying it's not just they pulled out at this point. I'm saying that the Catholic Jewish Alliance is over, because over this period of time, conservatism got redefined progressively more and more to the point where there's nothing but Jewish interest involved. And the classic quote in this regard is the quote from Benjamin Ginsberg's book, Fatal Embrace, Jews in the State, where he says, "If you talk to the neocons privately, they will admit that they're only using the social issues as bait to get votes from the riffraff."
And as you point out, Mike, and we'll get back to this when we come back, riffraff is code word for pro-lifers. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars. When we return, stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today in this last hour of the show by Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars. He has a most excellent and provocative essay in the June 2007 edition of Culture Wars. It's the cover story. Our old friend Rick Santorum is there on the cover with his picture, his mug, and Dr. Jones' essay is entitled Too Many Yarmulkes: Abortion and the Ethnic Double Standard. Absolute must reading, this essay, folks. I can't begin to tell you. I've read through it a couple of times. I went through it again last night. I've been starring and bracketing some of the quotes in it and so forth. Dr. Jones gives us so much information here to consider that's packed into individual sentences and paragraphs that you can't digest all of what's here in one simple reading. Getting back to our conversation before the last commercial break, I will quote what Mike was referring to before we cut away for the commercial. He says on page 34, one of the first casualties of this alliance between Catholics and Jews, was the Right to Life movement. In his book, Fatal Embrace, Jews in the State, Benjamin Ginsberg points out the cynicism with which the Jewish neocons exploited Catholic pro-life sympathies under the cover of conservatism, quote-unquote, the exoteric name of the Catholic-Jewish alliance. After noting that, quote, the neocons are soft on social issues, unquote, Ginsberg goes on to say that the Jews exploited the Catholic desire to put an end to abortion because what they were really interested in was, quote, a political movement that would guarantee Israel's security, unquote. In order to achieve this end, the Jews had to be duplicitous. Indeed, Ginsberg continues, many neocons are fond of saying privately that the social issues are merely useful bait with which to attract the votes of the riffraff, unquote. Riffraff, for Dr. E. Michael Jones, is the Jewish word for pro-lifer. Mike, is this the context in which we are to see what has been, in my judgment at least, the ongoing duping of social conservatives and the GOP who are brought back into the fold every 4 years for the votes, but then discover after another 4 years go by that not much has changed?
Yeah, I think that was Rick Santorum's career in a nutshell. He had to appeal to the Catholics to get elected, but once he got elected, his allegiance was to the people who paid his money, and that was IPAC. So you use the pro-life movement to get the Catholics to vote for you. When you get in office, you're the guy who carries water for IPAC and comes up with outrageous bills about bombing Iran and all sorts of other stuff. Well, that's what I'm saying here. Historically, that's the same thing that the Black Jewish Alliance was. And that fell apart in 67 when Harold Cruz wrote his book, The Crisis of the Negro Intellectual, when he said, wait a minute, we're the ones, you know, a Jewish organization like the NAACP promotes Jewish interest. But the whole way, the opening wedge, the thin end of the wedge, the spearhead of this, was the campaign against racism. What Cruz is saying, by the 60s, the Blacks awoke to the fact that, yes, politics is ethnic. By promoting integration, the Blacks had simply weakened their own political base, and then they were manipulated by the Jews, who were using the Blacks for their own ends. So both, it's important to have both of these alliances in mind, because they really explain each other pretty well.
Yeah, and I'm looking at an amazing quote that you have on page 36. You say that the simple truth of American politics has been articulated by George Marlin. You cannot get elected if you alienate the Catholics. The other simple truth, which Marlin left out of his book, is that you can't get elected without Jewish money. And so politics in the 21st century in America means taking Jewish money and putting on IPAC's yarmulke while giving Catholics the impression that you are pro-life. That might be the final word on it.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's right.
Yes. Well, you know, in terms of this whole business then of conservatism as a code word for neoconservatism, what do you see, Mike, as the whole unfolding implication of so-called paleoconservatism, which in some respects you describe under Pat Buchanan's leadership as a crypto-Catholic political movement? Unpack that for us.
Well, Pat Buchanan was the man who broke open the whole conservative movement. After the fall of the Berlin Wall, Pat was perceptive enough to see that the situation had changed, and we simply could not pursue the old Cold War strategies with any coherence anymore. And so he returned, broke ranks with the conservatives by promoting the interest of the American worker, was for protectionism of some sort or other, but maintained the right to life and the culture wars aspect of the debate as well. Well, that's the profile. That's the Catholic profile. I mean, this was the Catholic party in the conservative movement saying, "Well, this is what we're interested in. We're not. Let's abolish NATO." Paul Wolfowitz. I remember him saying the first time I ever heard the name Paul Wolfowitz was when Pat mentioned him in his book, saying that Paul Wolfowitz wanted to station 6 NATO divisions in Estonia and Latvia. Well, what's that all about? Well, we found out what it's all about, because what happened is that Pat got demonized as the next Hitler, and the conservatism broke in half.
Absolutely, and I think that divide continues to plague the American right, without question, Mike. We'll be back with Dr. E. Michael Jones, the editor of Culture Wars. Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined by Dr. E. Michael Jones, the editor of Culture Wars, which you can find at culturewars.com. We're speaking about his essay here, Too Many Yarmulkes, Abortion and the Ethnic Double Standard, which is in the June 2007 print version of Culture Wars. That's volume 26, number 7. Mike, there are a number of other things that we could talk about in this essay. It is so packed full of information, one hardly knows where to begin, and certainly we can't do justice to it in less than an hour's time. But you mention subversion in this article, the subversion of the American political and cultural and religious right, using those terms advisedly. And you speak about the Bradley Foundation, and you also talk about the Acton Institute under Robert Sirico. What is involved with those two organizations, the Bradley Foundation and the Acton Institute, and how do they serve as a microcosm of this much larger problem of the subversion of the American right?
Well, as I said, it was the conservatism was the Catholic-Jewish alliance, and it was that from the beginning. And basically, William Buckley, the founding of National Review, ISI, all of these organizations were basically an attempt to, you know, allow Frank Meyer to talk to Villanova students. I think that was pretty much what Frank Meyer, being the intellectual, you know, the brains behind National Review, his fusionism was their creation. And so what you saw over this period of time is that they gradually took over. They took over first at the beginning by eliminating the old, America First component, the Midwest isolationist component, the Taft Republicans. This idea of conservatism disappeared in the 50s, and it was replaced by Buckley's anti-communism. And then, of course, when communism fell, we saw another shift when Pat Buchanan tried to take it in a new direction, and he was completely demonized. If there were ever the Hitler du jour, it was Pat Buchanan in 1992. So what you saw over this period of time is this constant subversion of the idea and the constant, basically, the Jewish the Jewish part of the alliance becoming the tail that wagged the dog. And one of the crucial moments in this whole subversion was 1985, Michael Joyce became head of the Bradley Foundation. Michael Joyce, like Bill Donahue, was a protege of Irving Kristol. And so what the money, Bradley money at this point, began to support neoconservative front operations. And one of them was Crisis Magazine, okay, which was basically neocon outreach to Catholics. Rick Santorum was a columnist in Crisis Magazine. First Things, another neocon operation, when Richard John Newhouse basically got the Bradley money that was going to go to the Rockford Institute. And now we have Father Sirica and the Acton Institute. Father Sirica, as we point out, in culture wars, had a long past that he tried to cover over. He used to refer in his biography to his soft Marxist period in his youth. Well, it turns out he was a flaming homosexual activist on the West Coast who got religion in San Francisco when he joined the Ayn Rand cult, the libertarian movement, and then he became a priest, and now he's subverting the other end of Catholic doctrine. Now he's no longer subverting the church's sexual teaching. Now he's subverting the Catholic teaching on economic morality by talking about, I can't believe that I read this, but he, in this Imprimis speech, printed speech that he gave at Hillsdale, he's justifying financial services for the poor. Now, do you have any idea what that is? I mean, we're talking about payday loans where you pay 175% interest on some, you know, the crudest and most ruthless type of exploitation of the poor you can imagine. And here is this man wearing a Roman collar promoting this. Well, this is another instance of subversion. You know, all these Catholic front men promoting the ideas of the Bradley Foundation and ultimately their neocon Jewish backers, you know. Eventually everyone woke up to, not everyone, but large numbers of Catholics woke up to this, and that's it. It's over. Just as the Black Jewish Alliance ended in the late 60s, I'm saying the Catholic Jewish Alliance, known as conservatism, is over. It's finished.
And it's, and I think noteworthy, in underscoring what you've said about the Bradley Foundation and the Acton Institute, to mention what you talk about on page 34 of your essay, that in the early 1990s, Dale Vree, the editor of the New Oxford Review, was approached by someone he described as a Jewish neocon from the East Coast with no interest in Christianity or Catholicism, who offered him money if Vree would, number one, support corporate capitalism, and number two, support a militaristic U.S. foreign policy, i.e. one that would benefit Israel. Vree turned the Jew down, as you report it, but as the rise of Deal Hudson, Richard John Newhouse, and Robert Sirico make clear, many were avid to take neocon money and give the impression that Jews and Catholics were of one mind on just about anything of importance. This invariably meant the betrayal of the Catholic position on issues that Jews considered important, and that now meant abortion. Once the word neoconservative got into public parlance, it became clear that concern for Israel had replaced concern for abortion as the primary conservative issue. Is that something that we can also apply to this very curious Protestant evangelical alliance with neocons and with the Jews?
Well, I think there maybe that's going to happen there too. I think the other end of the Protestant spectrum, I think it's already happening, which is to say the WASP Jewish alliance. I think what we're seeing with the Walt Mearsheimer report, with Jimmy Carter's book, and other phenomena, that the WASP have had enough. They feel, or now George Bush is talking about Hamilton Baker. You know, their report is now going to be the blueprint for Iraq. Well, that's a total repudiation of the neocons, total repudiation of that part of the conservative alliance. So I think we're seeing across the board, Iraq is just causing all of this turmoil in all of these alliances because they just pushed it too far. Too far. You know, too big a price to pay. Sorry.
As a friend of mine put it, Mike, who this coincides exactly with what you seem to be telling us today, this friend of mine said to me, you know, he said the Jewish lobby is involved in a classic case of overreach, and Iraq is that overreach, and that is a much wider segment of the American public gets fed up with the war in Iraq, and as more of them connect the dots in terms of Israel's central core role in having caused all of this, it's going to cause, at some point in this fellow's judgment, a real or potential realignment of American political constituencies when it comes to Israel specifically and the Jewish lobby generally. Maybe that's what's happening here.
I think that is what's happening. I can't really comment on the evangelical end because I don't know enough about that. But, I mean, I know the late Jerry Falwell was given an airplane by the Israeli government to promote their, you know, what this dispensationalist view that the people over there from Russia are the true, you know, the children of Moses. That's theologically preposterous, but that's what he was promoting. So maybe there'll be a similar reaction among the evangelicals when they realize that they've been taken to the cleaners too.
Yes, and you know, I had an op-ed piece that I wrote for the American Free Press, and the full version of it is out there with my blog with Al Bawaba in Amman, Jordan. And the title of the thing is Memorial Day in San Antonio, the final resting place of Marquis J. McCants and the death of the American Republic. And basically what it talks about is the fact that a few weeks ago in San Antonio, it was on the front page of the San Antonio Express News, we lost an African-American young man from San Antonio to the war in Iraq. He was an airborne medical guy. With the 82nd Airborne Division, he went to O'Connor High School here in San Antonio, the first person from O'Connor High to die in Iraq. And this young man, 23 years old, left behind a wife and three kids. And his father made the interesting remark to the San Antonio Express News that he did not support the war. He had some serious problems with George Bush and so forth. And it came out that this young man's father had been a 25-year lifer in the United States Air Force. He had been a master sergeant, many long years of standing as a military guy in the Air Force. And of course, there's a tightly knit Air Force community here in San Antonio, probably the largest of its kind in the country. And it struck me that if this young man's father, with his profile, would say the things that he said, that there might be a much wider developing disenchantment with neoconservatism and with Israel and with Bush and with people like Santorum and their counterparts in the Democratic Party who support these same things. There could be potentially a burgeoning discontent on all of this that's going to start causing more people to look at where Roman Catholics and Protestants and American political conservatives are on these subjects, and maybe this is a, maybe you've identified something here, Mike, that's a part of a much larger trend. At least I hope it is.
I hope so too. I hope so too. I hope the Catholics have to wake up to what happened to them over and what they lost as a result of this alliance. They got constantly got the short end of the stick on this alliance. And so, I mean, what will happen if, let's say, the voters in 2008 are confronted with a choice between Hillary Clinton and Rudy Giuliani? I mean, what will happen? I don't know what will happen, but I mean, it's clear that that's two versions of the same thing. You know, it's like which neighborhood in New York City are you planning to vote for? I don't see how that's
exactly
possible. And the other thing is the reaction that Ron Paul got at the debate. First of all, everybody was shocked that he said what's on so many people's minds, but then the attack, like John Podoretz wants his medical license revoked for talking this way. I mean, this is out, you know, or Rudy Giuliani's outrage at what everyone knows, you know. You can't have this disconnect from reality for any extended period of time. And I'm saying that in Pennsylvania, Bob Casey was smart enough to capitalize on it and got elected. So somebody should be smart enough to capitalize on this widespread discontent with the fact that we don't have any choice when it comes to these to things like the presidential candidates.
And maybe what you're hinting at here is that what Bob Casey was able to accomplish in Pennsylvania might be possible in this election at the presidential level, and that maybe the beneficiary of all of this in this instance might be Ron Paul.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, like, a Democrat who can come out and say, I'm pro-life, and break this fatal embrace that the Democratic Party has had with abortion would reap enormous political benefits. But the question is, will he be allowed to do it? His father, if you'll remember, wasn't even allowed to address the Democratic Convention back in the 90s because he had committed the sin of being pro-life. Well, I'm sorry, but you know, you can't write off a big segment of the electorate like the Catholics by treating them with contempt this way. Eventually, someone's going to be smart enough to realize that they can get elected by dealing with the realities, and that's what happened with Bob Casey.
And it may well be that in terms of analyzing this in regard to the great ethnic fault lines of American politics, that maybe the Casey thing again is a model for what might be possible at a national level. And as I look at this whole situation, Mike, it seems to me that as people begin to connect the dots on Israel and the neocons on the one hand, and the disaster of what has happened to us in Iraq, and as they connect the dots between Israel and those beating the drums for a wider war with Iran, people like John Bolton and Kenneth R. Timmerman, that maybe, just maybe, their resentment and backlash when it comes to that might cause them to re-examine this alliance with Jewish political interests in areas like the abortion controversy.
Yeah, I think that may be true. One of the signs that the neocons are thinking along the same lines that I'm thinking is that Charles Krauthammer recently came out with a column urging the overturn of Roe versus Wade. Now, Charles Krauthammer could care less about abortion, but I think what he realizes is that the conservative ship is going down, and they have benefited from this, and the only way to keep the Catholics on board is to give them something significant on abortion. That's the rationale behind his column, I think.
Yeah, and you talk about this on pages 37 and 38 of your essay, and what it seems that Krauthammer has figured out is that, hey, the so-called conservatives might figure out that in exchange for their alliance with the Jews on Israel, that they have been completely shortchanged in regard to what they haven't gotten on abortion or on anything else for
on
that
any
matter.
Of the social issues, for that matter.
Exactly.
I mean, it became kind of de rigueur among the neoconservatives like Max Boot and people like that, holding these pro-lifers in contempt. We don't care about abortion. That's got nothing to do with conservatism. Conservatism is support of Israel. This is the way Max Boot was writing in the 90s. Well, how long are you supposed to put up with this kind of contempt? Sorry, you know, that's what finally dawned on the voters of Pennsylvania. Sorry, we're not voting for this anymore.
That's
It's been exposed. It's out in the open now.
That we who represent the so-called riffraff, as Benjamin Ginsburg would put it, may be finally connecting some dots. And I think, Mike, of my own autobiography in this regard. In 1996, I was out at the Republican National Convention in San Diego covering it for Christian News, and was also attending some of Pat Buchanan's parties out there because I had been a volunteer for him in Texas. And watching that whole scene and what unfolded with the Republican National Convention that year, and, of course, the Dole-Kemp ticket and so forth and so on, that, for me, was a watershed year, because when I looked at the whole thing as it involved the obvious linkage of the Republican Party to multinational corporate interests and to globalism and to Zionism, and then to look at what I, as an individual Christian, had not had done for me and for people of my ilk in regard to my past activism in the Republican Party, it became a question of intellectual and moral integrity and self-respect when I thought, you know, I've been completely defrauded in this process. I have been unwittingly defrauding other people like me who have been involved in conservative activism in recent years in the Republican Party, believing that we were making a difference. Now determining that we haven't made a difference, it's time to walk away from this. And if I walked away in 96, if Giuliani is the Republican nominee or McCain or Romney, I suspect that there's going to be a much wider walkout movement that might lead in new directions in the formulation of new constituencies. We'll be back with Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars and Mark Dankoff's America on RBN. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
back. This is Mark Antos of America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the final minutes of our conversation with Dr. E. Michael Jones this morning, the editor of Culture Wars. We're talking about Mike's new cover story essay for that publication entitled Too Many Yarmulkes, Abortion and the Ethnic Double Standard. Mike, at the very end of the essay on page 38, you say as follows. It is not anti-Semitic to say that Jews are responsible for abortion. It is not anti-Semitism to speak of the Jews as a group, nor is it bigotry to hold a group responsible for its actions. If that were the case, the Jews should not hold Germans as responsible for the Holocaust, nor could Jewish organizations tell the Germans who to make the checkout to when they collect reparation payments in the name of the Jewish people. Holding Jews responsible for their actions is not anti-Semitism. It is the opposite of anti-Semitism because it treats Jews as creatures of logos, which is Greek for the word, folks, as in the word became flesh and dwelt among us, as creatures of logos and not prisoners of their DNA. Unpack that for us a little bit in the final minutes.
Well, we have to come to some understanding what anti-Semitism means. There is something called anti-Semitism. It is basically a form of biological determinism, which says the Jews have bad DNA and they can't help themselves. They're just going to be wicked people because of their DNA, and so you have to exterminate them. That's not the position that I'm taking here. The position I'm taking here is that Jews need to convert, okay? They need to convert to the lower logos. The lower logos is the moral law. Okay, the Jews are overwhelmingly pro-abortion, and I'm saying we need to focus the pro-life movement right now on the people who are pro-abortion and convert them to the right-to-life position, rather than spend all of our energy trying to convince the world at large that the fetus is a human being. We all know that. There's one group of people that knows it too, but ignores it and promotes abortion, and these are the Jews, and we need to convert them. That's not anti-Semitism. That's persuasion. That's the American system. That's Christianity. There's all of these things are treating these people with respect and saying, look, you're wrong. You need to change your mind. That's the political process in America, and that's what I'm proposing here. It's not anti-Semitism to say Jews are pro-abortion. They are pro-abortion. It's that simple, flat out. That's it.
Yes, it's a matter of public record. I think it's very, very clear. And I think what you offer us today is, I think, a very targeted political and theological solution that I'm in full support of. I think at rock bottom level, you've identified the nature of the enemy, you've identified the methodology that we need to utilize as Christians in the way that we witness to the enemy, and by failing to discuss this, I think the mainstream pro-life movement up to this point has simply abdicated its responsibility, in my judgment.
I think so, too. And I think that we need to take our cue from people like Tony Alf and his cartoon. Okay? Except that we have to talk about not just the Catholic part of it, we have to talk about the converse, the ethnic converse of that, namely the Jews are pro-abortion. And if you want to straighten out the country, let's deal with the people who are pro-abortion.
Dr. E. Michael Jones, I wanted to thank you for being on Mark Dankoff's America today to discuss your new essay, Too Many Yarmulkes, Abortion and the Ethnic Double Standard. You can find Dr. Jones at culturewars.com. You can order a very fine print subscription to this publication and look for the June 2007 essay, Too Many Yarmulkes, Abortion and the Ethnic Double Standard, to perceive the larger political, theological, cultural, and economic implications of the culture war in this country. Thanks to Dr. E. Michael Jones. God bless you. I'll be back tomorrow with Mark Dankoff's America live at 7 o'clock in the morning Central Time. Take care.